The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Bregman deep to left field, going back, Grossman, he is near the wall, looks up, this ball's gone! Three-run home run, Alex Bregman on an 0-2 pitch, and the Astros out in front, 3-1. Yuli hooks one down the line in left field, that is going to be a fair ball, and head all the way to the corner. Correa flying to third, he's going to give Pettis a chance to wave him home, he'll score easily. Carlos Correa getting around the bases, it is 4-1 Astros. On the ground, towards short, Correa gets to show off the arm again, and this game is over. The Astros win it 4-1. Roberto Osuna picks up his 27th save of the year. Astros salvage a game in this four-game set, and Zach Greinke wins his 200th career game.
Well, at least they got the last win. Everybody was panicking before that. Man, a lot happened this weekend. Let's get to it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he will read it on air. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. Or if you want to comment on the Twitch channel, just go to the Twitch channel. If you're watching us, go to the chat. Put your comments there. If they're good, they'll make the show. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. I'm in a remarkably good mood for a Monday. I don't know
good.
Why. Feeling good. Got a lot of work done today. How was your weekend?
It's all right, I guess. Yeah, I can't complain.
That's good. I had a really outstanding out-of-nowhere weekend kind of thing.
Did you?
Yeah, we were sitting around Saturday morning trying to figure out, hey, are we going to... You know, are we going to do something this weekend? Because I know I've kind of gotten to that old man thing when I get to the weekends now. I just kind of like to, you know, sit around, watch Netflix, have a few beers, just chill, right? Well, the wife looks at Facebook and sees that there's a pub crawl going on Saturday. It's found at about noon, starts at 1. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I really don't like doing this stuff anymore. And we decided to go do it. And I had like the best time ever at a pub crawl. It was the guys from Eighth Wonder put it on, and it was you used Metro Rail to get to all the places.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool because, first off, you didn't get too drunk because there was a pretty good gap between each place. And second of all, it's just the coolest people that I think I've been on a pub crawl with. And so shout out to all the guys at Eighth Wonder and Ryan and Sean and David and Courtney and all those. I just had a blast with them. And so that was my Saturday. And then Sunday was... recovery day.
Well, but, good for you.
But yeah, we had an absolute.
How hard did you pub crawl?
Not. I mean, I stuck to one at every place.
Okay.
So it was because if I start,
the only way to do it.
I mean, then and what was cool? A couple places they had some special drinks made just for Eighth Wonder, and it had one of them had like the Haterade, their vodka, their gin, and like jalapeno in it. It was fantastic. I had to watch how that guy made it, so I can try to make one of those. But, I behaved, and then we had a couple at the end, and then went home and watched the Texans.
Yeah.
The thrilling Texans.
What a game. I was there.
Yeah.
For the first half.
I was about to say, I was going to ask you over under on how long you guys stayed.
Yeah. I got up at the two-minute warning, and I was like, yeah, we're out of here. I was trying to go watch those fights, which, by the way, great card. Really great UFC card.
Yeah. That was, I wanted to get your thoughts on that pretty early in the show because, man... I mean, the Cormier fight was, I mean, but there were two or three fights on there which were just really, really good and entertaining to watch and worth the money.
Nate Diaz is basically the best. I mean, he's what makes fighting fun. He's like, well, what did you think about, you just come off a long layoff or are you planning on fighting again soon? Well, I took all that time off because everybody sucks. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's nice that Dana finally admitted he's a star.
You think?
But, yeah, that's So do you think this is it for Cormier? I know there was talk that he was planning to retire, and then he said he wasn't going to make a decision, but what do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, he's got some thinking to do, because I think without question, I mean, you're 40 years old. He's not, you know, him fighting at heavyweight, I don't think is the most ideal, even though this is the first time he's ever lost at heavyweight. It doesn't force him to be in great shape. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think he's probably done, and his legacy's cemented. I think he should be done. I bet he goes one more.
Okay. Well, what about your Texans? What insight did you pick up while you were there?
All right, my insight: the first drive was awesome, and if that is actually what we're going to get from the Texans, what we saw in that first drive, there's something to watch. I mean, Watson looked good. Hopkins looked good. I mean, those two guys, really, those two guys are going to decide what the Texans are this year. Because let's face it, everybody else on offense is garbage. I mean, it's either garbage or it's an injury risk. I mean, there's not another player on that offense that you can feel good about going into this season, in my opinion. You either are worried about the position because everybody sucks at it, or you're worried about the position because nobody can stay healthy.
That's how I feel about receiver. Running back, I'm not worried about. I just know it's not. I mean, you're not going to have Todd Gurley out there.
Well, one guy sucks, Lamar Miller, and the other guy, Duke Johnson, is already hurt. So,
what do you mean Lamar Miller sucks? He's a very average running back. That's what he's been his whole career.
Is he going to be positive?
He was last year.
Was he?
Yeah. Go look at his numbers again. Okay. He had a better year than I think you realize.
Okay.
He's not great. I'm not trying to tell you he's an all-pro, but you can do worse.
Well, I'm not saying you can't. I mean, yeah, you can do worse. I'm saying Lamar Miller's not going to make or break your team.
No, but I'm not worried about that position. I think between those two guys, you've got functional players.
Okay.
Beyond that, no, but how many teams can go 3-4 deep there? I mean, I have no idea who's their third running back.
I don't either. I think we're maybe starting to get closer on that, but yeah, I'm not sure.
But that position I'm not concerned about. But you know, I know what it is. It's an average position.
Okay,
it's fine. Wide receiver, the injury questions are real, and I don't know what's going on with the offensive line.
The offensive line is garbage, and it's been garbage for years. But it was garbage because they didn't address it. And this year, they made a clear and solid effort to address it, and it's still garbage. And it looks like Matt Khalil is going to be the starting left tackle, and he sucks. I don't know we've seen anything out of him that makes you go, you know what? Yeah, that guy's got it again. He's good. Titus Howard's
played enough for us to make that judgment. I mean, if they're judging that, it's based on practice.
That's all I've heard.
I have not heard good things from practice.
Not anything good. And then he gets a Veterans Day off for the game, which...
And he didn't practice today either. So,
boy, he's a super veteran.
Yeah, so I mean, are we hurt or...
And now Titus Howard's hurt. Name the spot on the offensive line that you feel good about what you've got going. I don't know that there is one.
I like the potential of sharpening at guard. Okay. I'll give you that. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to work out. That's the other thing, too. This is preseason.
Yeah,
and they looked great the first drive while Detroit was basically rushing four guys. And frankly, Detroit didn't have much up front to get to the quarterback. You're supposed to do what they did. If they hadn't marched right down the field like that, then I'd be concerned, because that's the preseason. That's what you're supposed to do when your ones are out there. And the offensive line looked good on that drive, but are you really going to go with – I mean, I don't know what – Matt Khalil is anymore, because we haven't seen enough of him, at least. You know, I haven't been going to practices to watch. But there's still a lot of concern there. And were they better than last week? Yeah, they should be better than last week.
Well,
but it's still, there's no way to tell. I mean, I think Sharping looks really good at right guard, but how's he going to look when he's having to deal with stunts and blitzes and things like that? We're not going to get an answer to until the season starts.
And maybe the guy that I should give a little bit of credit to, because what I've seen of him, he looks like he's going to end up being a respectable swing tackle, as Rod Johnson. I don't know that I feel good him being the swing tackle when you're talking about Khalil and Chantrell Henderson being your starters. I mean, that doesn't make me feel great because I don't have much faith in either one of those guys. Like, I'd much rather Shontrell Henderson be your swing tackle and you actually have a couple good starting tackles. But
yeah, good luck with that.
Rod Johnson's looked good from what I've seen of him. I think that the offensive line is going to continue to just haunt this team. And I hope you're right about Sharping. And I hope
even if I am right, okay, what does that really mean? I mean, do you move Fulton to guard? Do you move Fulton to center? And maybe Nick Martin has to prove himself a little bit? Because I think Fulton is at least decent, at least average. I don't know that Nick Martin's average.
I don't either.
And so, I mean, if Sharping can work out, do you put Fulton at center? And obviously your plan is to play Howard at guard for now. And I'm guessing that he could play if he had to with a broken finger. So it's just camp, so you don't put him out there. But all right, Henderson, can he be average? Maybe, but can he stay healthy? And the guy got through one quarter last year. So, yeah, I mean, I still think the concerns are there. And, you know, and everybody was like, oh, well, they looked a lot better. Well, they did, but it was one drive, really.
My worry is that's what's defending Deshaun Watson. That's his protection. And is that going to hold up? If I were a betting man, I would say no. And if Deshaun Watson gets hurt, you can forget about any hopes that this team has. So, I mean, what we saw, like I said, what we saw on Saturday out of the ones looked good. Mind you, it was against the Lions. The Lions didn't even start a lot of the guys that they have projected to be starters. So, it's really hard to take anything. And honestly, it's getting harder and harder to take anything away from any of these preseason games. Back in the day, I mean, we've seen more than so far we've seen one series of Deshaun Watson through two games. That's not how it used to be.
No, it used to be they'd build it up. He'd maybe do one the first game, then you do a couple the second game, then you play like a half or even into the third quarter.
And then you don't play in the
fourth. Play in the fourth.
It's totally changed now. Yeah. And I wouldn't expect to see much more than a drive in the next game.
And then that'll be it.
And then
we won't see him in the fourth one. So
we might see two or three drives out of Deshaun Watson before the season, which I'm fine with, and that's what every team's going to. I'm mostly fine with it because the less time he's got to spend out there with that offensive line, I think the better they are. Yeah.
And that's the other thing, and we'll come back to this after the break, but it's one thing for them to go out there and do one drive. It's going to be another thing for them to go out there for an entire game and protect them when teams are adjusting. And when teams are not playing vanilla, trying to go after you. Right, they're not playing a vanilla defense. They're looking for your weaknesses. They're trying to take advantage of them. And with young guys on the line, you're going to have weaknesses that teams are going to try to exploit. And that concerns me, trying to go a full game with guys like that that we haven't really seen enough of. Now, you know, from what I understand, they did a bunch of reps in the joint practices, and so Watson got a lot of work there. Okay, that's good. Now don't get him killed because you're not going to win if he's out.
One of the things I've given thought to this offseason is I never like going to practices. I think it's a waste of time. But the more I see the way they're treating preseason now, I may be better off going to some practices than paying any attention to the preseason games.
Well, yeah, and I've been telling you that for a long time. I pick up a lot more out there at the practice. Yeah. The problem is I don't want to go stand in 110-degree heat.
It's too hot.
Just to see what I can figure out when I got guys like Cody out there who are keeping me up to date. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Did you know that overall job satisfaction in the U.S. is at its highest level in 15 years? 51%. Wait, 51? That's barely half of you are happy with your job. No one's going to a doctor with 51% patient satisfaction, yet 49% of you are driving to that unsatisfying job that you hate. Why? You've got options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have computer experience or training, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career, that is what they do. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. You'll take classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need. It's more than a school, too. They're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things from the Twitch channel before we get back to the Texans. Commenting on how green your shirt is. That is a pretty bright green. It does stand out. It's not a bad thing.
Well,
it just stands out. And Discos and Castle said, wait, you did the pub crawl. I did it too, but didn't see you. Maybe drinking four drinks at each bar might have been the reason. Oh, I can't do that anymore.
Dude, that's hardcore.
Yeah. I finally figured out on these things. My goal is just, like, if I get halfway through and I don't want to, and I feel like I'm getting drunk, I usually bail. But I try to have one at each place and space it out. And that way, when I get to the last place, I'm not drunk. And I can have a couple extras and then go home and get drunk. That's kind of the goal. But I admit, I had more fun on this one than I have on any one I've been on. It's just the nicest, most fun bunch of people. So, sorry I didn't get to meet you. All right, let's get back to your Texans a little bit. Because, yeah, I think the offensive line is going to be an issue all year in keeping Watson healthy. And I love the tweet from WB, Matt Khalil is fine as long as he doesn't have to go up against speed or power rushers. Yeah. Drunk Bevo, I'm worried for Watson. They're going to ruin that guy. I think, you know, the wild card here is hopefully with all they've invested in the tight ends, they get some additional blocking from that position. That's my hope. Although we haven't seen their third round pick this year, who, I mean, you can't cut him his first year, can you?
No. I'm guessing he's an IR guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just say, okay, we'll see you next year. Because that's one position they've got some depth at.
Yes. I don't know that there's anything great going on there. Jordan Akins looks to be the best of the bunch. I don't know if that's saying a whole lot. But
you're hoping that one of those two guys evolves into something. They both show flashes out of Akins and Thomas. And you've got a pretty good veteran there who can block, too. So I would hope he makes the team and that means Warring's probably an IR guy.
I think that's the most likely situation.
Four of those. You can't.
They might keep four anyway.
Yeah, I think that would be dumb. You've got other positions that you can't really afford to. You know, now, to be fair, they've way over invested in tight end. I mean, you've done three reasonable picks here in 2 years. So, yeah, that tells me either you're not that sure about the guys you drafted last year or, you know, this guy was just so good you couldn't pass up. Well, again, we haven't seen him, so there's no way to know.
Yeah, I think Akins is kind of the he seems to be the further advanced of the two guys right now. But I mean, like you said, they're hoping that somebody steps up and really shows out. But I'm sure they feel good about the depth there. I just don't think they feel good about the quality that they've got there. You know what I mean?
All right, well, to me, again, this is like running back. I'm not really worried about that position. But I don't think it's a major plus. It's just there. And, you know, you've got A-plus at quarterback and A-plus at one receiver. And those two guys are going to be, it's like you said, they're going to be the reason they win or lose this year.
I saw Jason Braddock tweet out that he thinks they'll keep four tight ends. He thinks they'll keep Akins, Fells, Thomas, and Jarrell Adams. And I'll tell you what. I mean, Darren Fells, if the offensive line doesn't get any better, Darren Fells may be the one maybe you don't want to keep him, but you have to because he's the best blocker of the bunch, and you're going to need to keep him in there to help protect Watson.
See, I don't know how you can keep four if you're going to keep Gillespie on your roster too. I mean, that's the thing. Do you need a fullback? Which, you know, I mean, I thought they were drafting him as a special teams guy, but maybe that's what he did look
good on special teams.
Yeah, right? But I don't know that's a guy I don't know if you can afford that spot. Gets back to, because I think they're going to have some tough decisions to make. And not because they're necessarily cutting really good players. I just think you have a lot of guys who are sort of the same guy that you're going to be like when you get down to your receivers after, you know, after Hopkins, Fuller, QT. Okay. So to me, Carter, Vincent Smith, all these guys that they're trotting out there, they're kind of, you know, Johnson, they're kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
So you cut one and somebody else might pick them up, but you know, are you really losing that much, whoever you cut there? And I think
I thought about something, too. Is it possible that the Texans, after they just run him into the ground in the preseason, that the Texans don't keep Joe Webb?
I think there's a good chance of that.
Isn't that wild?
If McCarron's not healthy, I mean, if McCarron's healthy when the year starts, yeah, I mean, do you? That's another thing. You'd be keeping Webb as a special teams guy.
He would have to be a wide receiver slash
emergency quarterback.
Right. And
do you need that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you need that position.
I mean, I'd feel bad for the dude because he's taken, what, 95% of the preseason snaps?
Well, but you know what? He's shown enough that somebody who's got a backup quarterback problem might want to pick him up.
Yeah.
Because we know there's a lot of backup quarterback problems out there. But, you know, yeah, I think that's another guy you look at and say, maybe they don't keep him because his real use would be on special teams, you know, unless Watson gets hurt. But if you go in planning for Watson to get hurt, it doesn't really matter at that point. Then, he gets to back up A.J. McCarron.
Right.
Ooh, I'm so happy for that. Yeah, because if that guy has to play regular season, you're not winning games. And I think they know that. So, yeah, I think they're going to have some tough roster decisions, especially on offense. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes because even on the offensive line, I think there's a good chance you're cutting one, maybe two guys who started for you last year.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because, like, is Kalamete going to make the team? Julian Davenport? Those were starters last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I heard Lance talking about it a little bit today, how you balance out your tackles and guards. I think a lot depends on how you – and I think he's going to write this for Sports Map. At least he said he was on the air, so I'm going to hold him to it. But do you think of Titus Howard as a tackle? If you do, then, yeah, he can play guard, but he can kick out if he needs to, and I think that affects what else you keep on that line. But they've got some tough choices to make across the board on offense.
I think what the Khalil, I guess the combination tells you, since Khalil hasn't played in preseason and apparently has just been bad at practice, but is still presumably the starting left tackle for week one. I think what that tells you is that Titus Howard is not ready to play left tackle. And the fact that they're not giving him reps there, because I heard Bill O'Brien say today that Titus has looked good at some drills at right tackle, but he's mostly been playing guard. Like, if the guy was ready to play left tackle right now, don't you think he'd be there?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, because keep in mind, this is the same coach who didn't think Deshaun Watson was ready. And Tom Savage was.
It's true.
And he now, and again, I don't want to start bashing on Bill O'Brien, but he always leans veteran. Always. And always has. It's like, oh, these rookies, and even the way he talks them down and everything else. And so, I mean, I think in his mind, the best starting lineup has Matt Khalil at left tackle and Chantrell Henderson at right tackle because they're veterans that he can trust. And the younger guys are going to have to learn other positions if they want to get on the field. And you got to use the guy because it's a first-round pick, so put him at guard. Doesn't mean he's not the best left tackle on the roster right now. It just means that I think Bill O'Brien has his mind made up. I mean, how do you make up your mind after that game that Matt Khalil's your starting left tackle?
I don't know. Play? That's what I'm saying. I mean,
but man. what I could see happening is you keep three tackles and that it would be Khalil, Henderson, and Florida State kid who's looked really good.
Rod Johnson
is your swing tackle. That means no Davenport. And if you've got Sharping and Howard in the lineup, you get into a bind, one of those guys can jump out and play tackle. I mean, I think they've got some flexibility there, but I wonder if a guy like Davenport's not gone, if a guy like Kalamete's not gone, because you still have Martin and Fulton, and you got Greg Mance in there. And here's whatever happened to Martinez Rankin?
I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I will say this. Turnover's not a bad thing for an offensive line that was as bad as they were the last couple of years. Because 2 years ago they were bad, and then there was no turnover, and it was the same crappy crew they ran out there, and they all sucked too. Or they all sucked again. So at least now we're seeing some guys get moved out, but I still think this is the most gaping hole that the Texans have.
It's still the biggest concern because they shuffled pieces, and we've talked about this really all camp. They've shuffled pieces. Is it going to make them better? And I don't know if it makes them better week one, because obviously a guy, the Howard and Sharping especially, you would think over the season they'll get better and better, theoretically, and might turn into good players for you. But week one, are you going to be better than you were last year? I don't know. And, you know, I think... Yeah, there's some addition by subtraction there, but that's still a really difficult thing to try to say, hey, we're good here. You know, this combination works. I haven't seen it yet.
Has anybody on, has Cody or anybody, any of your sports map guys put out a, like a projection, a 53 man projection?
I think Cody's working on one this week. Okay. Braddock may do one. I mean, it's,
yeah, I'd like to see what those guys have to say.
Yeah. Cause they did it a couple weeks ago, and I think, I do think it's changed. So yeah, one of those guys will have something on that this week. Okay. No question. And you know, I'll be real interested to see how the roster shakes out. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy Monday. So, who all went back to school today?
Mine did.
Did they?
Yeah.
I noticed a lot more traffic out there coming in.
Yeah.
Took me a lot longer to get here. So, 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people want to know, have you watched The Boys yet?
I've watched one episode. I started it.
Okay, good.
And I'll be honest, my wife does not like it after one episode.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, I don't know. This seems stupid. I was like,
I don't
boy.
Know if it's something she'll like. You will love it.
Okay.
Especially the deeper you get into it. It just gets weirder and weirder.
I had the opportunity to watch a second episode last night, but I chose Intercourse instead.
Okay. Well, that's always a positive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would have been on the second episode.
Yeah.
But I did watch a couple things just because yesterday was be lazy and do laundry and crap like that and don't go anywhere. I watched The Sisters Brothers on Prime, which is a Western.
Okay.
And, you know, if you like Westerns, it wasn't bad. It dragged a little bit at the end, but I thought it was pretty good. And then I watched that Sam Elliott movie, The Man Who Killed Hitler and Bigfoot. Had a lot of promise. I mean, conceptually, it had a chance to be really good. It wasn't really executed very well. It was just basically Sam Elliott being old and bored and then going out and killing Hitler and Bigfoot.
So, no need?
It's not a waste of time, but I wouldn't move it up the queue. I would just say, if you get to it, great. If you don't,
no big deal.
Yeah, but that's about it. So, didn't really do anything else.
Yeah, I had my first fantasy football draft. I'm playing way less fantasy this year, but I am, you know, I've got a couple leagues that I've already committed to. So I did my first one last night.
So are you not doing the one we do every year?
No, I'll probably end up running that one.
I'll send
something out tomorrow.
I'll play that one, but that's it. I'm not going to do a bunch.
On doing a listener one. Like there's too much. It's too much.
Yeah. I know there were some people asking, why aren't you guys doing listener ones like everybody else is, and the truth is we've been doing these for so long and it's so much work and I just don't have the time on my plate to keep up with it. So and it's an opportunity for you guys to play on the other shows and for them to help promote themselves.
You see that your Astros won last night?
Well, was it yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, I guess. Do you know that they are considerable favorites for the next few games?
Yes.
The biggest money line in the history of Major League Baseball is set for Wednesday. Daniel Norris plus 440.
Wow.
Against Justin Verlander minus 520. How about this? The run line... Tigers plus 3.5. That's the run line.
What number do I get for that?
Minus 125. So obviously, there you've got some big favorites coming up. But the more alarming numbers are for the series. Will the Astros sweep the series? What do you think the yes price is?
It better have a plus in front of it.
Plus 140.
That's not bad.
No, minus 160. Will the Tigers sweep the series? Yes. Plus 25,000.
It's almost worth $5 on that, isn't it?
I mean, isn't it? No, minus 30,000. That means you have to bet $30,000 to win $100 back.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah. But if you put down $100 on the Tigers to win four games in a row, that would pay $25,000. That's a healthy payout.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't like the chances, but I like the odds.
I love the odds. I
about
love
the number,
the
right? Yeah, I was listening to Charlie a little bit today, and he was pretty dismissive of the Tigers, but I also recall him being really dismissive of the Orioles and White Sox, too. Mm-hmm. So I just think in a one-game situation, you know, if a pitcher has a bad day and throws a couple of balls that, you know, that he ordinarily doesn't throw and the hitters actually take advantage of it, I don't care if they're – I know the Tigers suck, but the Orioles suck. They were able to win a game.
Yeah. And, again, I don't bet baseball, but if I ever bet baseball, I would be obligated to bet Tigers plus 440 on Wednesday. I mean, Justin Verlander hasn't been the sharpest, you know, the last few games.
Well, he was good last time, but the time before, he got beat up pretty good. So,
I mean, he's obviously beatable. Plus 440 is ridiculous in a Major League Baseball
game. Well, that one Oriole game was, what, plus 403 that I wound up not getting down on?
Well, so, even bigger numbers available now, Fred.
I mean, you know what? It's almost worth just fading the Astros each game separately. Because you're probably getting plus 380 numbers like that in the other games. So maybe just fade them. I don't know. I mean, they're not going to lose them all, but at plus 400, you only got to be right once in four games to break even, right?
Yeah.
So if you wind up being right twice, you make some money. Start a new job at the Ship Channel today, so it gives me plenty of time to tune in as I crawl back to Cyprus every day. That's a bonus.
Ouch.
Patrick from Lucky's. It's a good dude. That's a long drive.
That is.
Yeah. See what else we got. People asking if I watch Succession on HBO. I gave it four episodes and punted.
I haven't even tried it. I'll be honest. I'm like working super hard on handicapping college football already.
Yeah.
I just haven't had a lot of time to watch television.
I've been doing a lot of that while I'm sitting out, because I like to have the show on and then I'm doing stuff like that. I'm going in doing my research for especially college football, which I'm going to be pretty hard on this year. But yeah, I tell you what I did watch. I watched that Righteous Gemstones last night, which is the new HBO show. That looks like it could be very funny. John Goodman and Danny McBride.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins is supposed to show up in it. But I watched the first episode, and it was pretty damn funny. But then I watched the first episode of Vice Principals, and it was hilarious, and then it went to hell. So I'm cautiously pessimistic on that one. But yeah. I'm down to Animal Kingdom. I'm down to one episode on, which I can't believe they're going to do a fifth season. Because if you're following that, there was a pretty big character death. I don't know how they can do it without him. And then Yellowstone's down to one also, I think. Which I don't know if you've been on that, but
no, I've got it all DVR'd.
It was
next on my list to watch, and then you pushed The Boys so hard that I skipped over Yellowstone.
Well, that show has gotten better with each episode this year, and darker and more violent.
Okay,
which I know you like.
I like that. I like violence. All right, guys. You know what else I like? Try Eagle Energy. Why do I like them? A, they're always going to have competitive rates. B, they're not going to jerk you around with some nonsense, tell you, you will only pay for the last week of the month, blah, blah. That's all garbage, I'm telling you. What they will do is give you a chance, an opportunity. They're not guaranteeing you this, but they'll give you a chance to win free energy for a whole year, free electricity. How about that? They're bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, giving you the power to win free electricity for a year. All you got to do is sign up for any power to win electricity plan. You'll get two Dynamo game tickets, two T-shirts, and you'll be automatically enrolled to win free electricity for a year. Every time the Dynamo go out and win a home game, Tri-Eagle is going to draw a lucky fan or customer, and they're going to win a year of free electricity. It's simple to enter to win. Text the word POWER to 77177 or visit TriangleEnergy.com to learn more. That's POWER to 77177 or TriangleEnergy.com. PUCT license number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guys, check out sportsmap.com if you haven't. A lot of great stuff coming in. It's football season. We got all our football stuff lined up. We have real college games this week, A.J.
Oh, I know. I'm fully aware.
Sports Map will have you covered on just about everything there, and got a fun article from Paul Gallant that'll post in the morning, and we'll have Jermaine writing every week, and all, you know, just the same, you know, a lot of the stuff that you've been getting all summer, but now you're going to get a bunch of football on top of it. So very much looking forward to that, because it's about to get busy, but it's about to get fun. So, hey, I know you knew Cedric Benson. That kind of had to suck. I thought you knew him pretty well.
Yeah, that's a really unfortunate thing. And when I first heard it, I was like, no, that can't be right. And then I saw Mac Brown tweet about it, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I heard what happened, and apparently Sed was out riding his motorcycle and apparently going a little faster than he should have been, and ran into a van. And, yeah, man, that's a – riding bikes is no joke, man. If you're not super safe, then it can end in a hurry. And
I know you've had some close calls,
yeah,
just around here. So
yep. So and a lot of people haven't talked about it, but he had a passenger on that bike who also died. Hmm. So yeah, really unfortunate thing, man. Sed was a good guy, like a giving, caring person, and yeah, he will be missed. That was a bummer for me this weekend. I hadn't talked to him in probably, I mean, I don't think I talked to him since he retired from the NFL. But we used to talk pretty regularly when he was first kind of breaking into the league. He was one of the first team that I covered, you know, when I got into radio. That the 2004 Longhorn team was that was when I started my radio career, and he was always generous with his time. And, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, man.
All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. So did you see who looks like he's going to get the starting job in Washington? Your beloved Case Keenum.
Yeah, and the Redskins came out next. They said, you know, maybe we tried to rush Colt McCoy back. It's nobody's fault. Well, no, it's your fault.
Yeah, just like Jay, you you messed up Trent Williams, too.
Yeah, and boy, doesn't Trent Williams kind of look vindicated now?
A little bit.
I mean, I get that there was pressure on him, and I think Colt McCoy was probably what they looked at as their best chance to win games this year. So I understand wanting to get him back, but got a pretty gnarly injury, man.
Yeah. So Keenum, who just keeps going and getting starting jobs out of nowhere.
Keeps finding ways.
Yeah, but, well, good for him. I think that's one of those situations where I'm okay with either guy. I think they're both really good backups.
That's where I'm at.
But, and then some, I don't know if you saw this, but mixed signals from the Titans camp about Mariota. There's some people saying that there are people in the organization that actually prefer Tannehill right now.
Boy.
That would be... Boy, you want to talk about a mess.
Things have gone downhill in a hurry for that dude, haven't they?
I like the guy. I think he can play. He just can't stay healthy. And then, yeah, I don't know that they've blessed him with the best coaches either.
No, I don't either.
But, and he's, what, this is his third offensive coordinator now?
Yeah.
In 3 years. So, yeah, but, man, if you can't beat out Ryan Tannehill, oof. 713-780-ESPN's your number.
I saw a story this weekend. The headline was, "What Titans Marcus Mariota Must Do to Make the Leap to elite.
See, number what? One, stay on the field. Number two, don't suck.
I mean, there's a lot. There is a lot. And it's funny because I guess he's going into his fifth year now, right? And he's kind of regressed every season. His rookie year was probably his best year. Like, that's where you started to see the most flashes, and it's just gone downhill. He doesn't really – I mean, I guess he still runs a little. I mean, I thought that he – I guess part of the reason why he doesn't run as much as I thought he would is because of his health.
Well, because you don't want to get him beat up, but that also takes away what I think is a big part of his arsenal.
Yeah, and then there's not a lot of guys who holds the ball longer on third down. Like, that dude just seems to think that he's got all day in obvious passing downs, and it's the NFL. You just can't take that kind of time. Let me see if I had this pulled up. 22 sacks on third downs last year on 97 pass attempts, 18.4% sack rate. It's horrible. I mean, it's Tannehill-esque, and that guess who their backup is? Ryan Tannehill, same guy.
Yeah,
yeah. I was a believer in Mariota. I just don't see what he's got.
I thought he would be better than Winston. I guess that's still possible. but neither one of them are guys.
Yeah, you're...
Although I'm interested to see what Winston does with Bruce Arians, because he's really good with quarterbacks, especially a bigger guy like that. I do worry that he'll get him killed, because that's kind of what Bruce Arians does. Does get his quarterbacks beat up, but he also gets a lot of effective play out of them too.
Well, having Chris Godwin and Mike Evans makes things easier for sure. I mean, they've got some good receivers down there, but I don't know that I'm crazy about either one of them. At this point, I'd say Jameis Winston has a better chance of success, but you're talking about the top two quarterbacks in that draft class. Neither one of them might be back after this year with their original team. That's not a good sign.
No. I had a question from 832. Says he's got interested in poker. He's been playing on apps and his grandfather's poker pro loan and sharpen his skills. So far, I think I've gotten pretty good, but I want to learn how to play the real thing. Unfortunately, I'm not in a position where I'm able to gamble. What resources do you recommend to learn real skill and instincts to play with confidence?
You can't.
Unfortunately,
if you're not playing for money, you're not playing
this,
poker.
This is the number one thing when people ask me if I want to try to play, what can I expect? And I always tell them, you're going to lose. At first, you have to lose to learn. And you know, some people...
Playing with people who aren't gambling, if you're not playing for money, that's not the way people play poker in real life.
No.
People will take chances that they would never take. It's a completely different... Free poker is a completely different game than poker.
It's the most ridiculous jump in anything you'll ever do, is going from free play to even micro play. The difference is... It's more than preseason NFL to regular season NFL.
Yep.
So, I mean, the only way to actually, and there's a lot of good resources out there. I always talked about, I follow Jonathan Little on Twitter. He's great. He teaches a lot. I read a lot of articles and books, and that's all fine and dandy, and those are things that I try to work into my game. But really, the only way that you're ever going to get good is to get into real games, and that's where you find out where your weaknesses are. And you know, some people... they win right away. We see it all the time. The majority of guys out there, and even the really good ones, you have to lose, and you have to learn from your losses and build on that, and it takes time. And nobody wants to hear that. I mean, they really don't. And I hate being the guy that has to say that, but the truth is, I mean, I had losing years for almost 2 years before I ever started turning a profit. And those were learning experiences, and it was worth every penny.
What I will say is, I understand if you're saying you're not in a position to gamble. I think the best thing you can do is, it's still gambling, but find a couple tournaments, like low entry tournaments, and try and play like that. Because if you sit down at a 1-2 table, you can probably get over your head pretty fast. Whereas when you play at a tournament, I mean, you've got the... You say, oh, I'm playing this $80 tournament. It's $80. Yeah. And then, I mean, you learn as much as you can on that $80.
Because it's a one-shot investment. And there's $40 tournaments around town.
There are.
You can play for not much money. But, man, if you're not in a position to do that, then don't. And I hate to sound like the old guy here, like John Turturro and Rounders, but the reality is, if you can't afford it, then that's not something you should be into. And it's, I always say that with gambling. If you're in any kind of gambling, if you're thinking about doing it, make sure you have the resources. And if you get to a certain age, you shouldn't start gambling. And as much as that keeps people from buying our audiobooks and things like that,
yeah.
I'm just trying to be honest with you. And I think if you're having fun playing the free poker, keep playing the free poker. But
just know it's not the same.
Yeah, don't mistake that because you're dominating that for thinking that once you're playing for real money, you're going to see results, because it is a ridiculous jump in terms of what you're up against.
Brian asks, who's the best quarterback from that draft, the Mariota Winston draft? I went back and looked. It's whoever's better out of Winston and Mariota. There wasn't like some guy who snuck up on everybody and was good. Winston Mariota went 1-2. The next quarterback taken was in the third round, Garrett Grayson.
God.
Third round, Sean Mannion. Fourth round, Bryce Petty.
But that guy never worked out.
Fifth round, Brett Hundley.
So that's another guy. I thought both of those guys might have a chance to develop.
Garbage.
No, they never did. The jump was too much for him.
Seventh round, Trevor Siemian.
That might be the best of them.
That's end list, though. That's it.
Yeah.
That is a bad quarterback draft. I mean, the Texans, they had it right that year, taking Kevin Johnson in the first round. They knew this isn't the year to take a quarterback.
Oh.
Oh. Hey. We're going to take Kevin Johnson one pick after Melvin Gordon and two picks before Marcus Peters. That's what we're going to do.
Oh, boy. Well, they would have never drafted Melvin Gordon.
No.
That's just, if you're not a tight end or a cornerback, and it took him so long to draft another tackle.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, guys. Hey, I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And, you know, I know it's still hot out there, but the seasons are about to change, and you can revitalize your outdoor living area with custom style and quality that you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. They can beautify your backyard with custom outdoor kitchens, patios, covers, fire features. We're going to be building a place here pretty soon, and I can't wait to see what they can do with it. You got to call the professionals at Allied Outdoor Solutions to get ready. 713-465-0400. They can renovate your fading pool deck, grayed out patio, or outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And they can also help you with outdoor kitchens, patio covers, new pool construction, and more. The carved stone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. And unlike pea gravel, carved stone feels much cooler on your feet. With the multiple layers of defense, carved stone is a slip-resistant surface. Allied can help you figure out how to hang on to your hard-earned cash longer with several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. And with all this, it's no wonder so many people have great things to say about Allied Outdoor Doors. The Best Pick Reports certified each of the last 5 years. Angie's List Super Service Awards in 15, 16, and 17. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway today, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.